Okay, I've got to, because time's getting on, so I have to sort this out. How many of you have actually seen Magnum Force? Come on, be honest.
Not as many as you'd think, I think.
How many of you heard me talk about it?
More.
Okay. How many of you have never seen Magnum Force or heard me tell you about it? Very narrow majority. Okay. Okay, we've got to wind up, so I have to make this as brief as I possibly can. There's only one reason to continue living in the future as far as we know. The ice caps are melting. The wrong people have been in power for as long as humanity has existed. Evil always triumphs over good. Prices are rising. There's no point buying an SUV because it sucks. You can't get on the road. Your body's finite. All your appetites will lead to your own destruction. Any attempt at altruism or helping the rest of the world is futile because you're only doing that to enhance your own ego. In fact, you're trapped in a ball of hell known as existence. What's the way out? DVD. Three letters, two of them the same. DVD. Spell it backwards. It's root. Okay. What's the best DVD in the world? No contest. The best DVD in the world is actually Cocteau's Orphée. But the one you're most likely to see on television is Magnum Force, Don Siegel's classic second Dirty Harry movie set in San Francisco, where the first one was set, in case you wondered whether it wasn't or not. It is. Yes, in this film, Dirty Harry is played by Clint Eastwood. That's Dirty Harry. His nemesis is... Neil Briggs, a man with a curry-coloured suit, quiff to die for, beautiful jawline, most famous for his Mark Twain impersonations, which I believe he still does at random in banks in Atlanta, according to Peter. Briggs, however, is Callahan's superior, which means that everything that Callahan wishes to do has to be rubber-stamped by Briggs. Even back in the early 70s, the whole concept of team playing and being loose cannons, although neither of those cliches existed back then, was already in place. Dirty Harry is dirty because he wants to do it his way. Briggs and a series of vigilante cops are in their own way doing it their way. They are sickened by the lack of justice being meted out to the top bad eggs in the San Francisco area. So Briggs and his crack team of traffic cops with tightly fitting jodhpurs and beautiful white helmets, the most prominent which is David Soul, most famous for Don't Give Up on Us, Baby, and of course Starsky and Hutch. And I should point out they're all wearing aviator shades like Peter had until they were stolen in Melbourne. And so I can't tell you which one is David Soul, but I read the credits and one of them is, and I've seen the film 8 times and once in German. And I now dream about it and tell you every night on stage, once I was a man with a mission, now I know what it is. So, suffice to say, Briggs and his bad egg cops have a confrontation with Clint, who causes the cops to shoot off the edge of the ferry military barge and into the water, one by one. This still leaves the confrontation inevitably between Briggs, which Clint has now discovered is a bad egg, and Clint himself, who is the hero and has a rather nice tweed jacket and a sort of long black gun, which I would say is almost octagonal that way around, but there's room for a bullet, which is perhaps octagonal. What Freud would make of these guys who spend an awful lot of time analysing the bullets that they find embedded in each other and in the trees and in bus stops and indeed of obviously various bad eggs around San Francisco, only Freud would say, but it does seem suspiciously like they're trying to dig up their own seed. And what would happen if you planted a bullet? You'd grow a Republican. What was Clint? A Republican. But I can admire him because you don't have to connect an artist and their art. I could be a terrible person and my songs could still be crap, but I could always take my shirts to the cleaners more often than I do. Don't give up on us, baby. Nor will I, David. Meantime, the confrontation continues. I've almost alluded it, but I will bring you back to it in time for you to all get the PATH train back into the past, into a New York City full of people in Homburg hats, smoking cigars, and saying, "What you want, boy? I'm a crow." Vanishing in the steam before Sterling Morrison hands you something interesting in the bathroom. Oh, those were the days. Jesus, even before Magnum Force. But I digress. Nonetheless, mustn't keep you from the future. So before it... Mustn't keep you from the future, so before it happens, I'll just finish this thing off. Briggs, in his curry-coloured suit, is driving a Ford Cardiac, which has been severely pulverised by Clint. Clint has a few scratches on his chin, but he's otherwise very much the Butch Supremo in command. And Briggs is bouncing away in this. I mean, obviously on the ground, it's not just like some random thing in the air. I can't stand that kind of, you know, capricious surrealism. Oh yeah, there's a car in the air. Wacko, man. You know, fish, trees, insects, eggs, far out. No, no, it's bouncing towards the sun, and the camera, as often happened in those days, is tracking towards the sun. And I forgot to say, Clint has put a bomb in the trunk of Briggs's car, just to be on the safe side. And Briggs is crowing about how even all his cops have shot off the edge of the military barge, and his car is beat up, and his quiff is un peu pulverisé. Nonetheless, no one will believe Harry's word against his. He winds down the windscreen, which is already half wound down. You know how futile those gestures are. It just makes him more angry, doesn't it? And he says, it's my word against yours, Callahan, and who'd believe you? You're a killer, Harry. And with that, he tries to put his car into gear, winds down the window. The window actually falls out at this point. He bounces off towards the sun. Clint's head tracks it. Camera tracks it. Boom! The car explodes, taking Briggs with it. He is no more. At which point, Clint winds, slash Harry winds his camera head back to the camera and says, a man's got to know his limitations, Briggs. And this song is called A Man's Got to Know His Limitations, Briggs. Thank you very much. Good night.